What do chimpanzees have to do with runways? Whose are you? And what do Damon and Carlton have to say about the name of the secret scene for the finale? We'll have ponderings on all that and more in today's official Lost Audio Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We're here today with executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse to talk about last night's episode, Namaste. They'll also tease some of the things coming up in our next episode entitled He's Our You, which airs Wednesday, March 25th at 9 p.m. on ABC, followed by a brand new episode of Life on Mars. Don't forget, you can submit your fan questions or musings or other things at blogs.abc.com/asklost. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Good morning, Damon.
Good morning, Carlton.
How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm quite good.
We're feeling very refreshed now because we have completed writing the season finale.
We have indeed. We'll tell you now the title of the season finale. How about that?
It is called
The Incident.
The Incident.
Part one and part two.
Right. There is no part three.
But you will see it all in one evening. You'll see part one and part two, both parts together on
May 13th.
Yeah. Yes. So what ABC is doing is they're going to have a clip show at 8 o'clock, and then they're going to have a two-hour block of the finale. Eventually, it'll be split into parts one and two for purposes like syndication and DVDs and stuff, which is why it is called parts one and two.
But right, and here's why it's called The Incident, because something is going to happen.
An incident, perhaps.
There will be an incident.
Excellent.
It will be up to you to decide what incident we were referring to once you've seen the two-hour finale. The rest of it is just people sitting around talking, but then there's something that happens right at the very end.
An incident.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the very end. Now,
yes.
Carlton, we want to get out in front of this immediately because what's weird is you guys have only seen half the season. Well, one episode beyond half the season. This is through Namaste now. So
right. That's
the first nine hours of the season. There's still 8 hours to go, right? So you're a little bit over halfway, but already people are bludgeoning us.
Saying,
they're
what's the
begging.
Name of the secret scene for the finale, knowing that we're just and now we've just finished writing the finale.
Well, now we have the benefit of time. Like, people are always saying, also, how much do the fans impact the show? Well, here we have sort of a rare incident. We finished writing the show, so the fans can't really impact what happens in the finale that much, but you can determine what we're going to secretly codename the last scene.
So what we basically would like you to do is that, you know, in the past, we've had these codenames for the secret final scene of the finale, and this year we want you guys to come up with the name for the secret final scene of the finale. So just to kind of refresh your memory, in the first season it was called The Bagel.
Yeah, and then in the second season it was called The Challah, which I always pronounce because...
Challah.
No, try
Challah.
Again.
Challah.
There you go.
Challah.
That's right.
Okay, and then the third season was?
The third season was the rattlesnake in the mailbox, which was the flash forward.
So there's kind of been a little bit of variety. We started with some Jewish bread products, and then we moved on to sort of more esoteric terminology. But we're looking for something for the end of the season. And, of course, hopefully, like all finales, it will be a bit surprising to you.
Yeah, it'll be something that you never see coming in a million years.
Well, maybe in 10,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's also the kind of some mythological elements to it. But anyway, send your ideas in to Chris, and we will have some fun on next week's podcast picking an answer for
that. Yeah, you could name the secret scene.
Yeah,
it's
that's
very
pretty
exciting
cool.
If we like it.
Exactly. So let's do a quick rehash on Namaste, Damon.
Yes.
So Horace and Amy are Ethan's father. How many parents?
And mother. That would be weird.
Well, they're Ethan's father and mother.
Right.
That's your fault, Chris.
Way to go, Chris.
Way to go.
Horace, Goodspeed, and Amy are Ethan's father. Wow. And if we actually confirm that would be an extremely interesting piece
of
mythology.
Anything can happen on the island.
Exactly.
Sawyer will be pregnant in season 6. You heard it here first.
Don't tell people that.
I'm just saying. Will we be seeing Ethan again this season?
Yes.
Excellent. That's
we
exciting.
Will. It's very exciting.
Not just as a baby?
No.
Not just
as a baby.
We have the before, which is Ethan was born to these hippies in the Dharma Initiative, and we have the after, which is he's kidnapping pregnant women and injecting them with things and getting shot by Charlie. What's in between? What's the path?
the path is it's an interesting thing, and I don't really want to spoil that here on this podcast.
All right.
But you will see another scene with Ethan in it this year.
Excellent.
That runway that Christian and Sawyer and Kate built in season 3, was that planned way back then? Is that where the plane was going to land? What was up with that?
Well, you and I were discussing this morning that apparently chimpanzees are capable of planning.
Yes. Now that we finished writing the season, that was what our breakfast commentary was about. Normally we talk about story and script, but this morning we had a very lengthy conversation about what chimpanzees are capable of doing.
Carlton,
and they are capable
obsessed
of doing some bad things.
Yes, this chimpanzee in Sweden basically had been accruing weaponry, rocks and chipping off... In anticipation of the zoo opening at noon, so he could then throw them at people.
Yes.
Yeah, which
and
is
that
sometimes...
was after you brought me the article about Mo, right? Who was another chimpanzee who bit someone's face off, nose off, as well as some other body parts.
Right. Not appropriate.
You don't want to mess with an elderly chimpanzee.
None of this has anything to do with the runway. what we're saying is that... No, it does. I'm going to bring it back. Watch this.
Okay, I'm ready.
The term planning is all relative. For some, it's gathering rocks to throw at people. For others, it's anticipating that a JIRA Flight 316 might be landing 3 years from now.
Awesome.
But I would say that Jacob said to somebody, build a runway, so... You know, Ben was building a runway. He's always been a dutiful soldier. So were we planning on something landing on the runway? Well...
No, but Jacob might have been.
Jacob might have been. If you're building a runway, something's going to land on it, right?
Pretty much.
There you go.
Or you're going to have some chimpanzee problems. One or the other.
And Geronimo Jackson made its triumphant. You heard a little bit of it at the end of 316 when Jen pulls up. But now the entire song is dropped, I think.
Do you want to tell the fans the name of the song, Damon?
Dharma Lady is the name of the song. Again, Eddie Kitsis is the Geronimo Jackson expert here. He can tell you all about Keith Strutter and the other members of the band.
He's been studying them for years.
But I believe if you're interested in the single, it's now available on iTunes.
That's right. You can go there. It has a very kind of Grateful Dead kind of vibe. It's a good song.
Excellent.
All right.
Carlton, the next episode, the one that's coming up now, is called He's Our You, which is a very interesting title.
Yes, indeed it
is. Who's it about?
I would say it's about Saeed.
So is Saeed being told this line, he's our you? So someone is saying to Saeed, he's our you.
Yes.
And so they're describing another character.
Yes, who represents sort of Saeed on the other side.
And Saeed is a torturer, is that correct?
That is correct.
So is it safe to
assume?
Is it safe to assume? Okay, well, that's an entirely different way to go. So is it safe to say that Saeed is being introduced to somebody who is either the Dharma Initiative's torturer or resident lover?
Yes, one or the other. It could be that's a potent combination, but if the others have that character, I'm curious to see him.
The resident lover?
The lover and torturer.
Yeah, exactly.
Or her.
Very cool.
Let's get on to questions, because that's really why people listen to this podcast, Damon.
My lieges, Damon and Carlton. In a recent Enhanced episode, a comment is made by the pop-up thingy that Hurley was in the Mental Institute, not Mental Institution, in Santa Rosa. Is this a clue that Santa Rosa is actually a place of mental education that is making an army of crazy people, or is it simply a mistake? Additionally, will we find this out by the end of the season, or will this be a mystery like Libby's past and the Hurley bird that will never be answered? Thank you. Good day. Catherine from Santa Clarita, California.
Thank you, Catherine. Yes, that is, you know, the pop-ups, honestly, we do not have time to regulate the pop-ups, and we do have a couple of people who work for us in the office who kind of monitor those things, but they should not be regarded as canon. They should be regarded as sort of helpful aids. As though, you know, your Uncle Larry was sitting on the couch and he was a Lost fan and he was explaining things to you. Sometimes Uncle Larry might be right, but sometimes Uncle Larry might not be right.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, he was an institution and they were not likely doing special secret research on Hurley there. And the Hurley bird, I don't know. I mean...
It's not in the finale this year.
It's not in the finale this year, no. No, it's not. It's not even an I think. It's a no.
Don't get your hopes up.
I, I share your disappointment that the Hurley Bird has not returned into the show, and I don't really know why we haven't been able to work the Hurley Bird in.
You know why, Carlton? I think we can talk about it. People listen to the podcast because they want to know what's going on behind the scenes. We couldn't close its deal. The Hurley Bird basically...
kind of pulled a Manny Ramirez kind of holdout. And
apparently it's going to be appearing in the season finale of Grey's Anatomy, which I want to see how they figure that out. But
That would be better. Know. I would actually be much happier if the Hurley Bird paid off on Grey's.
I think Izzy is going to see it, because apparently she's been having some hallucinations this year.
Hi, Damon and Carlton. I have a question regarding self-perceived nerdiness and its relationship to shame. I'm sure you can relate.
Oh, Lord.
I love this question. I play in a lost novelty band called Sonic Weapon Fence. Lately, our drummer has been ashamed to tell people what kind of music his band plays because he thinks that we, and by extension he, will be branded as nerdy. Internally and within groups of Lost fans, he is proud of our work, but as soon as he's out in the real world, he clams up. So that brings me to my two distinct but related questions. First, is this an experience that you have with the writers? Do they love working on Lost but have a hard time telling their wives or girlfriends about paradox-free time travel? How do you counter those feelings of supreme dorkiness?
Wow.
And the second question, will you please use the power of your podcast to tell my drummer that he is a nerd, but that's okay. He needs validation. And then, does Vincent know who Jacob is? From Patrick in Chicago, Illinois.
First off, you guys have chosen an awesome name for a band. You know, no one would even know that Sonic Weapon Fence was a Lost novelty band. And that might lend to the fact that people are buying tickets to see your band, and there's some degree of confusion amongst them when you start singing about the Dharma Initiative. As far as your drummer goes, the fact of the matter is you're a drummer, and that makes you cool. And that's all there is to it. No matter what it is you do, you're a drummer. And it doesn't matter what you play or what band you're in. You just say, I'm a drummer, man. That's
and
all.
We love you.
Yeah, and we love you, even if the lead singer of your band doesn't.
How about our wives and writers' wives or girlfriends? Do they have a hard time talking about paradox-free time travel?
My wife thinks I write for Cold Case. She does, for 5 years now. She hasn't even questioned it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people ask us what we do, we start with, like, I'm a television writer, and then they go, oh, what show? And then you're like, oh, here it comes. They'll either say, oh, my God, I love that, or that I used to watch it and it totally confused me and I hate it, or I've never seen it. But Anywhere on the spectrum, we've got a sort of series of talking points. So,
but it's awesome, and we'd love to hear a Sonic Weapon Fence song.
Yeah,
so
send it in.
Send it in.
Next question, Carlton, and this was a short one because we're getting a little long-winded here. This is from Tom Halverson from Fullerton, California. Obviously, Carlton has a thing for Sawyer, especially when shirtless. So what should Carlton and Sawyer shippers be called? You remember shipper as someone.
Yes.
So, Croyers? Jarlton? Thank you for helping this matter.
I like Jarlton.
I like Jarlton, too, because they're taking the James aspect of it and marrying it to you.
And
so for those of you who are rooting for Carlton and Sawyer, you are now Jarlton.
And it is true. You have completely busted me on my rather excessive obsession with Sawyer.
Wow.
Hey, Damon, Carlton, I have a question about the Swan Station. Do you plan to show us what was behind that blocked-off concrete wall or tell us anything more about it, or was its appearance in Lost via Domus the last we will ever see of it? This is from Blake in KC, Missouri.
Blake, good question. I think what we said on the show always, and what Saeed speculated, is that there was some sort of energy source behind there. I believe the verb he used is Chernobyl'd.
Yes.
That there's this concrete basically sealing off the Dharma Hatch, the Swan Station, from that energy. And then I guess the idea was that every 108 minutes, by pushing the button, it dispelled some release of energy that basically kept that thing at bay. So it's like if that concrete wall was like a dam, you know, that release of energy was sort of like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the hole. So to look at the energy, I don't know what energy looks like, but it's probably very bright and very loud.
Are we going to learn more about the Swan at some point in the show, though, Damon?
Objection, Your Honor. Leading question. Yes, we're going to I have a feeling we're going to be learning a little bit more about the Swan. I mean, we are in 1977.
And we do have a finale called The Incident.
There is that, too.
I mean, if I was just basically adding 2 plus 2, I would get 4.
But I'll tell you, those writers on Lost can be very tricky. Maybe they called it the incident because they wanted me to think it was going to be about the swan, but it was actually about something completely mundane, like Jack loses his shoes.
That's true.
Hi, Damon and Carlton. Okay. I'm loving season 5. My question is about Charlotte. Now, this is a question that we've been asked a couple times now, so let's get serious and use the podcast to straighten up the record. In LaFleur, we are led to believe that Faraday sees a young Charlotte in the Dharma Barracks in 1974. But this is impossible, because Charlotte wasn't born until 1979. And I think they're referring to confirmed dead, Carlton, when Benjamin Linus lists off all these things about Charlotte Staples Lewis, including where she was born. He gives her date of birth as 1979. I think that's what this Laura Kay from Lansing is writing. So what's the deal? Hallucination? Weird time travel? Or did you just screw up, Carlton?
No, we didn't really just screw up. But what happened basically was the actress Rebecca Mader, who we cast in this part, was younger than the character we originally conceived. And she did not really want to brand herself as being 37, which I think is what she would have had to been if we had stuck to that initial birthday.
Yeah, I think in the script it said 1970.
Or 71 or something.
70 or 71.
And so basically she took it upon herself to readjust the birth date on the set.
Yes, Rebecca Mader, that was her, one of the first scenes she shot, I think. Yeah. And she basically said, I wasn't born in 1970, I was born in 1979.
So I'm going to make it 1979.
Not thinking like we pay any attention to dates on this show, because we're certainly not going to call down to Hawaii and say, oh, but they're going to be time traveling next year, and after your character dies, this is going to be a very important fact.
Right.
So it got changed, and in the editing room, we probably should have said, we should have caught it, but we didn't.
Yeah, so then we ended up kind of owning that, and then we realized, we had to stick to our mythology, and that was sort of in the category of tolerable errors. But good for you. You did pick up on that, and that's the story behind it.
Charlotte was born in 1970.
It is. This is from Robert in Sumner, Washington, who says, I've listened to every podcast you've ever done, and I have a question, and I've never had a question of mine read. This is a big one. It would mean the world to me if you guys could talk about it. So when Walt tells Locke that he saw him in a dream, that he was in a suit, that there were people who wanted to hurt him, is that what's happening right now? Are the Ajira people going to hurt him, or is it something that's going to go on in season 6? And thanks, love every second of the show, and would look forward to an expose spinoff.
I think that these are interesting theories, but all we'll say is this, that when Locke is in a suit, and he's in a suit in two basic phases of his life and death. One is he's in the suit in the coffin. It doesn't seem like anybody's trying to hurt him, but one could make the argument that by bringing him back to the island, that would be hurtful. So is Walt talking about the Oceanic Six? Or, once he's back alive, is he talking about the Ajira folks? I think those are the two possibilities that we should be considering. So you're barking up the right tree.
So continue to bark.
What's the other question?
They were looking forward to an expose spinoff.
Oh, I think that we're actually talking about an expose animated spinoff called Expose Babies. Sort of like Muppet Babies.
In 3D.
Yeah, exactly. It's in development, so the conversations are very preliminary. I have one final short question for you, Carlton. I feel because we're on the Charlotte axis based on the last question, and also because I want to say this person's name, this is Ali Manisto from Oulu, Finland. And the question is this, Carlton. Did you know that Charlotte Staples Lewis is an anagram for Walt Steals Helicopters? Did you know that?
Can you tell from my reaction that the answer is no?
Well, neither did I.
Wow.
And now everybody listening to this podcast, all 40 of you.
Walt steals helicopters. Crazy.
You know what? Every once in a while we do something like this.
There needs to be more sunlight in Finland.
There does.
All right. Thank you, though, for your questions. Hey, we love chatting with you. We're going to roll right now, but we'll be back next week. We look forward to your submissions on the Name the Final Scene thing, and peace, love.
I like the name of the promotion. The Name the Final Scene. Just call it the Name the Final Scene thing.
Yeah. That's good.
What do they win if they name it?
I don't know if we can send anything, because then it's a contest. Then you have all sorts of contest rules.
They get
the honor of having bragging rights. It's bragging rights.
You can tell people that was your idea, and they won't believe you. Yeah,
but we'll
be like, no, it is. Listen to this podcast. And they'll go, what's a podcast?
Exactly. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
That's it for this edition of the official Lost audio podcast. Remember that you can submit your ideas for the season finale secret scene thing contest at blogs.abc.com/asklost. He's Our You airs Wednesday, March 25th at 9 p.m. on ABC.